podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
You know, when you open a Christmas present on Christmas morning, you want to play with it right away. You know what I mean? Now, some of you may have had that problem this morning, right? You just opened the present, and Mom says, get dressed for church, right? Oh, come on, or maybe you even haven't even opened your presents yet. You know they're sitting there, and you're itching to open them, but sometimes you just can't play with them right away. I remember one Christmas a long, long time ago when I got a skateboard for Christmas, and it wasn't one of these cool wooden skateboards like they had the pros had out in California. No, it was one of these orange plastic rocket-shaped skateboards with the cheapest wheels that they make, and there was no Walmart at that time. I think my mom might have gotten it at Kmart, which was a big deal in our neck of the woods. So I couldn't wait to ride on it. The only problem was that the ground outside was frozen, covered with ice and snow, because that's the way it was many Christmases in New Jersey. Not a good day for skateboards. So I had to come up with something. So here's what I did. I went down into the cellar. We called it a cellar back then, not a basement. And started to clear out all of the junk. You know how a cellar accumulates with stuff, right? There was a ping pong table down there that had laundry all over it, because that happened to be our laundry room too. And then, of course, there was all sorts of boxes full of miscellaneous tools and things and whatever ends up in the cellar. It all had to be moved aside. It was all moved aside. It took me half the day to do just that. But eventually, I had a skateboard course in the cellar that went from one side of the house to the other and all the way through, and I was able to ride my skateboard on that day. Now, I was confined a little bit, and I had to use the support posts as slingshot devices, but I made my way around it, and it was such a cool thing to be able to play with that skateboard on Christmas Day that my sister even tried to ride her big wheel down there. And if you don't know what a big wheel is, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. But skateboards and big wheels aside, at this time of the year, we all like to say, Jesus is the greatest gift of all, right? We all like to say that, but is that just a cliche? Is that just something that we say this time of the year because we're supposed to? Or is he really the greatest gift of all? And once you unwrap the gift of Jesus, what do you do with him, right? What do you do with this gift? So there is help in answering these questions this morning in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. So if you have your Bible, turn there with me. First of all, let me just show you this verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, in the MSG version. That's not monosodium glutamate, by the way. It's the Message version. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. So if you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. If you have a pew Bible this morning, that's on page 489. Remember now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that this was written hundreds of years before Jesus even came, right? The prophet predicted that Jesus was coming, and he writes it almost like it was current headlines to him, right? Almost like he knew precisely what was going to happen because he was guided by the Holy Spirit in his prophecy. And the prophecy begins with gloom and oppression and darkness. And then Isaiah introduces the Messiah into the picture. And finally, he tells us the difference that that gift makes. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, starting with verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So the message of the prophet is this: your Christmas hero comes. Your Christmas hero comes. But how sad it is to receive the greatest news in all of mankind and not know what to do with it, not know how to use it, right? To say, man, this is really good news. This is good news. But what does it mean? To say, well, wow, this is the greatest gift that I've ever received. Now, what do I do with it? How do I use it? Isaiah is going to help us this morning. First of all, your Christmas hero comes as a child to share your suffering. So where do we see Jesus in this prophecy? Written hundreds of years before Jesus would come, we see him. You see, God's people were suffering under the burden of oppression from a foreign government, from Babylon. And then years later, they faced the same oppression all over again, yet now by another government that came into the picture, Rome. And all of their ancestral homes were raided, and the land that God had promised to them was occupied by foreigners. Just imagine that for a moment. I don't think we understand the importance of the darkness that they were experiencing in their life. Imagine that you are sitting in your home and suddenly army tanks and army vehicles start coming down the roads and they start going door to door and taking everything of value out of your home. And they cut the electricity and you're left with nothing but darkness and cold, struggling for the food that you would eat. You're living in your homeland, but you're like a slave. It's like you don't belong there anymore. This is the experience of Israel that Isaiah was prophesying. They were like slaves in their own homes. They dreamed of freedom and justice and righteousness. They dreamed of the good old days when David sat on the throne and everybody had more than enough and there was peace. So into this suffering, the hero comes. Now understand, it's not just about Israel, because on a much larger scale, the entire population of planet Earth suffers under gloom and oppression, right? We are occupied by the evil forces of Satan, right? We are in the place that God has created, but it's not our own. It belongs to evil. And so we live in great darkness. How else can you explain terrorists driving into crowds of people with their trucks? People shopping for Christmas in the bazaars in Europe and having to be worried about trucks driving in with ill intent and evil on their minds. So into this world, into our world, the hero comes to share our suffering. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." The name means God with us. The baby will come and the baby will be God with us. God walking our streets. God living in our village. God in our lives. And then as we just read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born." Don't miss the words, "to us a child is born." To us a son is given. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, we read, "There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress, for those who are suffering." And then he singles out the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, saying that in the past he's humbled those lands, but in the future he's going to honor those lands. What is it about Zebulun and Naphtali, these tribes? Well, they were the tribes of the north. They were the tribes of Galilee. They were the tribes into which Jesus would begin his ministry. He would be called a Nazarene and a Galilean, for he would come from those tribes to begin his ministry. So Jesus steps into our pain and our suffering. Isaiah 53:4 says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted." So this child comes as your hero to share in the suffering of your broken world. Any brokenness you have experienced in your life, he understands, and he comes to share that suffering with you. But sharing your suffering is not enough. The hero does far more than that. Your Christmas hero comes as a savior to exterminate your enemy. More than just sharing your suffering and spending time here in our world, he also comes to do something about the forces of evil. Israel waited for the Messiah to come to rescue them from their oppression and their darkness, to take on the bullies, and to win back their freedom. So let's look again at the language that Isaiah uses here in Isaiah 9, starting with verse 4. It says, "For as in the day of Midian's defeat," now they're remembering the good old days, "you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." He's going to do something about this oppression. And then it says in verse 5, "Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire." The yoke, the bar, the rod, the oppression, it's all shattered. The battle boots and the war garments, they're all burned in the bonfire because peace has come. And on a much larger scale than just Israel now, Jesus comes to rescue the entire world from our oppression. Not just the oppression of Israel, but the oppression of all across the face of this planet. Jesus comes to destroy Satan's kingdom and his dominion. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, the New Testament says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil." And in 1 John 3:8, we read, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning." Now listen, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So Jesus comes to destroy the darkness and the oppression of sin and Satan. But I've noticed something, that sin is still alive in me. It's still alive in this world. So there's more to this gift. See, your Christmas hero comes as a child to share your suffering. Your Christmas hero comes as a savior to exterminate the enemy. But also your Christmas hero comes as a prince to restore your righteousness. It's not just the power of sin out there in the world that Jesus came to deal with. It's the power of sin in here, in me, and in you that Jesus came to deal with, to restore our righteousness, to take away our sin. So for Israel, there was no peace because there was no justice. The people craved justice, that God would appear and set things straight. And on a much larger scale, across this whole planet, there is no peace in our world today because there is a severe lack of justice and righteousness in our world. If you get mad reading the headlines, if it troubles you every time your cell phone pings and you look at CNN or Fox News and something else horrible has happened in our world, it's because there is no justice and there is no righteousness. And that's when our hero, the Prince of Peace, appears. That's when he steps in. We read here in verses 6 and 7, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Look, there's no government on the face of this earth that can handle what's being thrown at it in our day and age. There just is no just and righteous government on the face of the earth. But it says that when he comes, the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called our Wonderful Counselor, our Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so we see it, that he will sit on David's throne and reign over his kingdom and establish and uphold righteousness and justice from that time on and forever. So he is the Prince of Peace who establishes peace by dealing with injustice and unrighteousness and setting it straight. And he steps in and restores first your situation. Right? Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Let there be righteousness on earth and let it begin here in me. Let there be justice in this world and let me be an instrument of that justice. Now let it begin with me. So how does he do that? He takes our place. He takes our sin upon himself. He dies on the cross so that all who believe in him are forgiven. And so he takes our ugly garments of sin off of us and places his beautiful robe of righteousness upon us, and our righteousness is restored. He dispels your darkness. And then, once he dispels your darkness, you can be a light that dispels darkness around you. We see it this year. I've seen it this year. Whenever people from our church and others give generously of their time and of their money to organizations like King Outreach and Samaritan's Purse to help those in need, we see that there is righteousness and there is justice in our world. Whenever people go on missions of mercy to hurricane victims, they don't even know, strangers, to help them in their time of need. Whenever groups of men and women get together to cut wood, to distribute to those who do not have warmth, there is justice and there is righteousness in our world. Whenever people step out of their comfort zones to do more than just pitch a dollar to the homeless, but to actually get to know them and get to know their name, there is justice and there is righteousness in our world. Whenever people did something and anything they could to reach out to the refugees of terrorism and war, there is justice and there is righteousness in our world. This is Christ-like righteousness and justice. And it's what he came to provide on a worldwide level. And how is he doing it today? He's doing it by first restoring your righteousness and then sending you out as his ambassador to bring righteousness and justice to your world. It is what he came to provide. Now, ultimately, he will step into this world one more time to bring righteousness and justice for good. We look forward to that day. But in the meantime, how are we bringing righteousness and justice today? How are you doing that in your world? Now, to top it all off, your Christmas hero comes as a king to fix your future. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." See, so he's not just a flash in the pan. He doesn't just show up, win the day, and then disappear. No, this is a God who comes into our world, changes things, and stays for all eternity. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. How long? From that time on and forever, forever. It doesn't end. The coming of the Messiah applies directly to Israel's predicament, right? It applies to their future as predicted in the book of Isaiah, but it's a return to the good old days of David's reign for them. They're going back to those days when they're going to have a king on the throne of David, but even better, on a much, much larger scale than Israel. His coming applies to you and to me, and to all who receive him as Lord and Savior. And the gift of his coming extends justice and righteousness and peace and forgiveness into all eternity. World without end. Amen. He is your king. He is your hero who comes to establish his eternal kingdom with righteousness and justice for all who believe. He is the hero who, in spite of your troubled yesterday, whatever it looks like, in spite of your complicated today, whatever that looks like, he comes to bring your happily ever after. That's what he's all about. Can there be a greater gift than a hero who comes to share your suffering, to exterminate your enemy, to restore your righteousness, and to fix your future? Is there any greater gift than that? He is your wonderful counselor. He is your mighty God. He is your everlasting Father. He is your Prince of Peace. And it's not just a cliche. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Now, what do you do with that gift? How can you unwrap it and enjoy it today? How can you play with it now? How do we do that? Well, look at the response of the people in Isaiah's prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3, it says, "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder." So what is the response to the coming of the Messiah? It's to rejoice, to rejoice. Now, maybe we don't understand what it means to rejoice as people who rejoice at the harvest. It's been a long time since most of us have participated in the harvest. Some of you remember those days. Really, you do. Some of you are involved in those days. But a lot of us, we don't get the harvest so much anymore. We don't realize that there was a time when your entire life depended on that harvest. And if that harvest didn't come in, you were doomed. You would suffer. That harvest was the greatest day of the year. As it came in, as you stored it and put it away, and you knew that your family was fed. So we need to rejoice as people who rejoice at the harvest, and as warriors who rejoice when they're dividing the plunder. There's another thing we don't get, right? Most of us have not experienced dividing the plunder, right? We haven't been in a war, or in the aftermath of the war, we walk into the village and say, "All this stuff is ours! Let's divide it!" Right? The big screen TVs and all the other things, that all of the plunder, the gold and the jewelry, everything that's left behind by the enemy as they have tried to escape for their lives, it's all ours now. We don't get those days because we don't live in Isaiah's day. But rejoice because you are free. That's the point. Rejoice because you are free. The sin and the injustice and the oppression and the darkness and the unrighteousness, it's taken away by Jesus Christ. You are free. So rejoice. Maybe we understand it this way, right? At the end of the game, when your team wins, what do? You cut down the nets. You rush the field. You spike the football. You tear open the presents. You have a ticker tape parade. However it is that you rejoice, understand that is how we unwrap the gift of Jesus, by trusting in Him and rejoicing every day of our lives that we live in this freedom. Live a life of rejoicing. Take advantage of your freedom from sin every single day. Clear the course for your ride of freedom from sin all over this dark cellar called life. Your Christmas hero has come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we praise you and thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, at just the right time, at just the time of need in the history of the people of Israel and in the history of the world, you sent the greatest gift you could send, our hero, our Savior, our Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And he came as a baby to grow up in this world of suffering, to live a difficult life, and then to minister, to do miracles, and to speak truths that no one had ever heard before, to cause controversy, and eventually, Lord, to go to the cross. And there upon the cross, O God, he took our sins upon himself, all of our unrighteousness, all of our injustice, all of our darkness, all of our oppression. He took it upon himself, and he died. And Lord, he was placed in the tomb, our sins having been dealt with. But Lord, then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And because of his resurrection, we have hope. Because of his life, we live. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today that we might rejoice this Christmas in the greatest gift of all, our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we wouldn't just believe in our heads and unwrap that gift in our minds, but Lord, that each and every day of our lives that we would live out the freedom and the righteous and the justice that you have called us to live in this world. And we look forward to the day when Christ returns and brings eternal joy. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to be your lights. Help us, Lord, to fight oppression wherever we see it, to be more like our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.